You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Yesterday, it was announced a capital gains tax would not be adopted by government. As noted by Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern, the coalition could not come to a consensus on this matter.
Today, I am announcing that the coalition government has ruled out implementing a capital gains tax. I campaigned on capital gains because I believed New Zealand's tax system could and should be fairer.
The Labour Party campaigned in the 2011, 2014 and 2017 election on a capital gains tax, while the Green Party wanted to extend the recommendations from the tax working group on a capital gains tax even further. They wanted to include the family home. New Zealand First, however, did not agree with the capital gains tax. When questioned on the decision on capital gains tax, Deputy Leader Winston Peters had this to say.
I agree with her comments. I thank her for them, in particular her gratitude to the tax working group that had some very substantial changes that which we will work on. And on the issue of capital gains tax, we couldn't agree.
Capital gains tax has been a polarizing issue, with some taking an anti-tax stance, concerned that increasing taxation was impinging on personal freedom. Leader of the opposition, Simon Bridges, had this to say.
This was really the big economic idea that Labor had, and they haven't been able to deliver on it. And I think, you know, people will be asking questions about that.
Do you think it's because she realised it was political suicide to even suggest the idea?
Well, they've gone into a number of elections with it. I mean, I think ultimately National has had a relentless opposition to this, to the extent where people have been critical of us, but we've kept coming back to this. So it's a big win for National. It's a big win for the New Zealanders, for New Zealanders, I think, here. We've embarrassed the government into this.
Now, I want to touch on taxation as I understand it. Taxation is the price we pay for a well-functioning society. Everything from the nurse's salary, to roads, to your grandpa tagging on to the bus with his gold hop card, to research and development, to the power line you use to charge your cell phone that you're about to use to text me a message berating me. They're paid for by taxes. Do you really not want grandpa to be able to catch the bus now, Jerry? In fact, unless you've gone all hunt for the wilder people, live in the woods, unconnected to anything happening in New Zealand society, you probably used something in the last hour paid for by your taxes. A tax is neither good nor bad. It is how the taxation is spent and where it comes from. What a capital gains tax can attempt to address is inequity. A basic explanation of how the tax would work is if you make a profit on a sale of an investment property, the profit would be taxed. The CGT went as far as to be called an attack on the Kiwi way of life by Simon Bridges. Many concerns were raised from those who were current homeowners and property investors. Commentary from current owners of investment properties said by introducing a capital gains tax, it would cut into their retirement investments. The concerns about retirement are not isolated for any one generation, though. Retirement is an expensive feat, and no doubt another sector of society that needs to be addressed in order to make sure older New Zealanders are being looked after. Simply put, the same patterns of investing in property can't be followed by the next generation. Many millennials don't believe they will ever own a home, which leaves concerns for what this means to the state of retirement amongst an aging population who don't expect to have any property to sell off. In recent research from the Financial Services Council, we saw that only half of millennials expected to own their own home by the time they retired, meaning that more are placing a greater emphasis on KiwiSaver. In fact, millennials are the most engaged with KiwiSaver, more than any other generation. In addition, only 30% of millennials expect to have New Zealand superannuation by the time they retire. A report from the University of Otago states that we're staring down the barrel of a future generation of non-home owners, being less able to achieve acceptable standards of living when they retire because of the critical factor of home ownership. New Zealand's superannuation is based on the assumption that recipients are homeowners. It's clear through statistics and current attention on housing affordability that this is becoming less of a reality for many New Zealanders. The longer policymakers take to address this issue, the worse it will be for many New Zealanders. While this could be seen as a good thing for those who believe personal accountability is the most important factor for economic development, the question about whether KiwiSaver will be enough to support those retiring remains to be seen. This commentary we've seen over the last decade, work harder, eat less avocado toast, and take personal responsibility for yourself, could easily be seen as bad economics. Asking people not to engage with local businesses to buy that avocado toast isn't necessarily something to encourage, because it means local businesses aren't being supported. In fact, one of the most important things we can do to build an economy is to have people who are of a lower socioeconomic background be supported. Why? Well, because when they can buy more, that stimulates the economy. If the majority of income goes into housing and the basic needs of the individual, then they cannot do something like buy a coffee from a local coffee shop. The business then can't employ an extra staff member for the busy period because, well, there is no busy period. The personal isn't so personal when it has a flow-on effect. In 2017, Statistics New Zealand reported nearly a third of all investment by Kiwis went into houses. This was the highest it had ever been since records began being kept 45 years ago. To contrast, in the same 2017 report, since 2010, business investment, which excluded residential buildings, hadn't moved. It was stationary at around 15%. While this is correlation rather than causation, it indicates where New Zealanders believe they should be investing. When we look at housing as an investment rather than homes, it takes the humanity out of the conversation. No doubt you caught on to the concerns about spikes in the rental market due to taxation. This appeared rather as a way to end the conversation. This could have been an opportunity to ask, how do we make sure rental properties are operating in a way that is ethical and doesn't promote poverty? Instead, it became a way to disparage the tax altogether. Auckland Council released the report, Exploitative Landlord-Tenant Relationships in Auckland, back in 2017. They reported, as the gap between incomes and the cost of housing continues to rise, concerns are emerging at exploitative practices of landlords, impacting in particular on vulnerable tenants. This is visible in substandard accommodation, unhealthy, overcrowded, derelict, and dirty homes, illegal practices, unconsented conversions and sewerage systems, and informal arrangements such as sex in exchange for rent. By not regulating the market in a way that provides people with affordable choices, we leave the power in the landlord's hands. I myself have personally had to consider living in my car, had to pay $450 in rent by myself as a student, know of more than four people at BFM who live in rat-infested homes, and have friends who have been homeless. Each week I speak with the National Party, and a capital gains tax is something I've spoken about on more than one occasion. I had a conversation with Chris Bishop from the National Party earlier this year, and he explained that a rental property is already taxed once, so to tax it twice would be unfair to the landlords. I pointed this out as a flawed economic viewpoint, as the income from the rental is a business income, while the appreciation of value on the property is a separate income entirely. While I don't pretend that the capital gains tax would have been a cure-all for the housing crisis, by not introducing it, we are continuing to make investment out of housing, something the United Nations Human Rights Declaration says is a basic human right. Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern said that there appeared to be no consolidated support amongst the public of New Zealand. But I guess my question is, how often has 100% of the New Zealand public agreed on something? Do we always have to agree in order to look after people who are vulnerable? For now, though, it's safe to say New Zealand will continue to be one of three countries in the OECD without a capital gains tax for as long as Jacinda Ardern is in leadership.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.